This mimer was delivered on Shabbos Pashas Lech Lecha, which was the 8th day of Cheshvan in the year 1984. Vayomer Havaya El Avram. The Parsha opens with God's commandment to Avram Avinu. Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Umemeladetecha Umebeis Avicha. Go forth from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's home. That's how the parsha opens. Where should you go? El ha'aretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you. That's pasuk one. The second verse of the parsha says, God promises, va'avarechecha, I will bless you, va'agad lo shmecha, I will increase your name, which could mean literally a name change or reputation. Veheye bracha, you'll be a source of blessing. Va'avarcha bevarachecha, and those who you will bless will be blessed. And the pasuk finishes with the words, V'nivruchu v'cha koil mishpuchei sa'adoma. Through you will be blessed all of the families of humanity who will live upon the face of earth. Some of the most important words ever spoken to anybody. These are the words that gets the whole process going. This catalyzes everything. This well-known analysis of these words found in the teachings of our Rabbeim, Teir of the Alter Rebbe, Eira Teir of Tzemach Tzedek, and in my learning that follow. This does not seem to be so well understood. There seems to be something about this verbiage that's slightly unwieldy. Many of the Mefarshim asks, like the Alshech, Panim Yofes, and others ask the same question. Mahu lech lecha me'artzecha. What's up with this business? Lech lecha, go for you, or go to you me'artzecha. The havel leimar, following the normative or typical biblical syntax, it should have said, lech me'artzecha, go from your land, not lech lecha. There's another diuk, the Seder HaMikra, the order of the scripture. The way the scripture first talks about me'artzecha. Me'artzecha means from your land. And then we say, umimoyladetecha, from your birthplace. And then lastly, umibeis avicha, from your father's home. So, l'cha'ere, ha'seder al-pip shutei, ha'yotzarech li'es lehepech. When you look at these words, and you take them at face value, the order should have been exactly the other way. If you talk about transcending or leaving, so bitchila, first thing you do is yetze adam mibeis aviv. First thing you do is you leave home. That's the first thing.
They weren't home at that time. They were in Haran.
They were still in Beis Avicha.
It wasn't their home. It was in your Kastan. It was Haran.
Still the father's home. Father's living there. You're going to leave your parents now?
Was that their home, or they were just...
Did Avraham Avinu's father have a home, or was he a street urchin?
Yeah, well, it was in Nur Kastan.
That's how he moves. They have a new home now.
75 years old.
Yeah, when you live to 175, I guess 75 is not...
Kids never leave.
It's like today's kids who are leaving home at, you know, at 39. So the first thing a person leaves is the parents' home. Acharkach, after that you leave, Moiladetcha. Your birthplace. The Hainu, which that would be the concept of the locale, the neighborhood, the city. That's where you're born. Somebody asks you where you're born. You're born in Toronto. You're born in Toronto. That's where you're born. What land do you live in? The land of Toronto? There's no such thing. And then only afterwards do you leave the land, the place from which you are. So the country is the last place you leave, not the first place you leave. So that's the question. The question is that it seems backwards here. The order of leaving seems to be arranged in backwards fashion. We also want to understand the kesher. What's the connection to this? Up until that point, God is promising Avraham that he will bless Avraham. And then he says, the ones you'll bless will be blessed. Well, who's talking about everybody else? How did that happen? Like, where is that coming from? Va'avodechecha, agad loshmecha, the things being done to Avraham. Heye bracha, the things you will be. And then all of a sudden, we're talking about this idea. We're talking about this idea of Avraham Avinu blessing others. Or others being blessed by Avraham.
Because he's blessed, he has the ability to perform.
Okay, but that's already a subset. It's already a different conversation. Because he's blessed, he could bless others. How does it fit into the opening volume? Vay diukim, there are many other diukim in the Maamarim of the Rabbeim, and this pasuk, from the Alter Rebbe through the Tzemach Tzedek, all the way till the Maamarim of the Friedrich Rebbe. Vehine, nekudas habir bezeh. If we can boil down the general explanations that are found in the Maamarim of Chassidus. There's a Maamar from the Rebbe which synoptically incorporates this entire thesis, which the Rebbe was Magia. The Rebbe recited only 2 weeks after his heart attack. He recited from his room, edited the Maamar. And the gist of the explanation goes like this. The inyan halicha zu, this going, lech means to go, lech lecha, so go, this going, yesh bei beis inyanim, it contains two distinctly different concepts. It's one phrase, but two very different concepts. There's something called halicha milmata lemaila. There's something called movement or going from a lower level, and the movement is upwards. And then there's halicha, there's going, there's moving, but this is milmaila lemata, from a higher place, so to speak, reaching down into a lower reality. So that's the nekuda of the bir. That lech lecha means Avraham was actually told to go in two different directions at the same time. He was supposed to be, on one hand, actualizing lofty concepts, bringing things down from a lofty spiritual realm into a physical, mundane, and ordinary reality. And at the same time, Avraham Avinu was charged with elevating his mundane environment, with transforming that which is normally lower, and creating that, bringing that into a higher reality, which we'll explain. But before we explain that, the Rebbe is very quick to point out that the kivan she'inyan zeh hu chelik me'ha-teira, since this concept is a part of the Torah, which the Torah, by its definition, is something called heira nitzchis, it's an eternal document or an eternal body of instruction. That's what the word Torah means. Torah comes from the word Hoira'ah. Hoira'ah means instruction. Like in modern Hebrew, when you buy a new machine or toy or whatever it is, it's going to say instructions for use. It will say Hora'at Shimush. Here's the instructions for use. So Hora'ah means instruction. The Torah is a collection of God's instructions. Because it's God's instructions, they're eternal instructions. Because God is eternal. And God is not temporal, and God does not react to certain circumstances or realities. Instead, God creates those realities. So the Torah is eternal. And because the Torah is eternal, and because it's not just eternal as these are eternal truths, but they're not binding. Instead, it's eternal truths that not only are binding, but are instructive, they're guide-worthy. So because of this, if there's this notion in Torah that God told Avraham Avinu Lech Lecha, and that the mystical interpretation of Lech Lecha incorporates two directions, so then it has to be something that's relevant for each and every one of us. Sorry, I find it very interesting. This is Maamar. The Rebbe didn't first develop the thesis and then say, incidentally, this idea is relevant and meaningful. He said, first of all, here's the idea. He didn't explain it yet. He said, before we go on to explain it, I'm telling you before we start even, that I'm not talking in the heavens. I'm not talking about history. I'm not talking about Avraham Avinu. I'm talking about you. This is about you. This is about us, about me. This is about all of us because this is dynamic. Why? Because it's part of Torah. So it's muvan, it's understood, shebezefani halicha, then we talk about two directions, or two ways of going, that this has to be yeshnam ba'avedas kol echad v'yechad mi'yisrael. It must exist within the framework of each and every single yid's aveda.
Sure.
Aveda means a life of service. And that's what we're supposed to do. We came here for a life of service to God. So in our service to God, or in our life, which is one and the same, there's this concept then of two different directions. Milmaila lamata, from on high, actualizing, bringing into a lower level, and milmata lamaila, elevating one's environment. So this is true. This would be true if it talked about anything in Torah. But this is even more true. How could it be even more true?
They're typical Jew.
Since this was applicable to Avraham Avinu, so then it's even more true. Because, as Ramban famously says, which is really a quote from our sages in the Medrash Rabbah, Maise avot siman labanim. That which happened, the actions taken by the patriarchs and the matriarchs, our forefathers, our antecedents, these are siman, these are a sign, labanim, for the progeny, for the children. So when you want to know how you should behave, you simply take a look at the Torah, and the Torah tells you, here's what they did, here's what you should be doing, or here's where you can find your instructions. As is explained elsewhere, and this is in some of the edited sichas of the Rebbe. Hapirush bazeh. What is the meaning of siman? The ein zarak siman. Siman can be a telltale sign. Or whatever, it's a sign. No, this is not just a sign. This is not even just instruction. Ella, rather, it's more so. It's a netinat koach. It's a giving of ability. It's an empowerment. And furthermore, not only it's an empowerment, not only it gives you the strength, it gives you the wherewithal, it gives you the clarity that you should do the right thing, even more so. Besides all this, it's also something called, and this is especially applicable to Avraham, p'tichat hatzinor, the opening of the pipeline.
Is it like a genetic transfer?
Spiritual genetic.
Is it spiritual? Like, does it go straight from him?
So, first of all, with regard to your question, is it a genetic transfer? The Alter Rebbe, in the Likutei Torah, explains the statement in the Gemara, Ein Kodem La'Avos, Ela L'Shleisha. There's only three people in the world you call father, and only four women in the world you call mother, I mean us Jewish people, besides our own mother of flesh and blood. But on a global and universal level, we call father. In other faith systems, they call every spiritual leader father, or certain spiritual leader fathers, but it's like an avuncular term. But in Torah, there's only three that we refer to as fathers. There are many who are referred to as prophets, some referred to as kings, some referred to as teachers, some as scribes, some as seers. There's all different appellations in the Torah. But the only three are ever called father. We don't say Moshe Avinu. We don't say David Avinu. Who are that? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Why? So the Alter Rebbe says, because when it's your parents, you have a piece of that in you. In modern terminology, genetics. So your spiritual DNA is necessarily lifted from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And therefore, because that's the case, anything which they were able to do, you necessarily are predisposed to be able to do as well. Sometimes it can be a recessive gene, though.
Yeah. And a ger, how do they receive it?
A ger is considered to be a child of Avraham and Sarah. Mm-hmm. So he gets it. So when the Torah tells us about something, it's not just telling us something. The Torah is giving us the strength, but more so. There's this concept of something called psichas hatziner. So let me tell you a little story which narrates this. The literal meaning is opening of a pipeline. It's what we would call in metaphysical language, like in psychology, they call about opening new endorphins in the mind. Or like the first time you think about something, it's like a mind-blowing thing. But once you get in, you start to think, it opens neurons, neuronic pathways in your mind. And it becomes easier, because once you're already there, so the first time is always very hard. The first blush at something is always the biggest deal. So there's never a second first. So there was a story that the Beit Yosef was working on a very big problem, trying to solve a very knotty issue. And he had toiled on this for hours, for days, maybe it was weeks, whatever it was. And he finally found a solution. And the solution is found, it's in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Beit Yosef. Pardon me, his commentary on the Torah. So it happened that the day after this, he was walking in one of the narrow city streets of Tzfat, and there was no glass in the windows. So what's going on in somebody's house, you could actually hear in the street. And he heard a man learning Torah. Ever been to Tzfat? Mm-hmm. Old Tzfat, it's all rebuilt anyway because of the earthquake, but it's very narrow streets. And there was no din of cars and buses. It's very quiet. And he hears this man learning, and the man is learning the very subject that he's been toiling on, and he's like, to himself, he's asking the question, and he stumbles on the answer that the Beis Yosef worked on for like, So he was crestfallen, like, I worked so hard on this, and the Beis Yosef knew who he was, and here's like, an ordinary tzvasite, which it weren't necessarily also ordinary, but still. Now the Beis Yosef had the extraordinary experience of angelic communication. He had this malach, which is called the Magid. And the Magid would come and teach him Torah on a daily basis. Every night he had this. So he asked him this question. He wrote a book called Magid Misharim, recording of these teachers.
Studying Magid Mishra?
No, the Magid Misharim of the Yosef Karo. He was in communication with a spiritual being, like a quasi malach. So he said, how is it possible? So he said, don't feel bad. Once you open the pipeline, in other words, once the software was written, anybody could get it by downloading. It could be downloaded easily. Hmm. He didn't use those words, but that's modern terminology. Gives us the metaphor.
Virtual private network connection, so then everybody else.
Okay.
So that but means we're all.
Let's augment that. Norman says he made the virtual private network. And once somebody creates that virtual private network, it's there. It's available. So that means psichas atzina. We could talk about this for the rest of this morning, but that's Avraham Avinu is the one who first opens the pathway. Now, if Avraham Avinu opens the pathway and he opens the derech, he clears the way, who does he do it for? Avur Habanim, for the children. Lahakil aleim, why would he do this? To make it easier for them. Lahasig madregazu. In other words, after Avraham Avinu got this level, once Avraham Avinu actualized this, it's much easier for anybody else to achieve this. Because this happened to the patriarchs, it's already part of the legacy and inheritance of the Banu. So before we really explain what this idea is, the first thing is you should know it's relevant. The first thing you should know it's part of your life. You're not studying history. You're not looking at something that happened to somebody once upon a time who's vaguely related to me because he's one of 75,000 ancestors or 2.7 million ancestors. No, because if it happened to Avram, it has an effect on us. Now, at this point, we should probably want to know what this is. Probably be very interested to know. Now that we know that it's relevant and it's meaningful and it's eternal instruction, like all of Torah, only more so. All right, so for heaven's sake, what is it? So the thing is like this. The Rebbe explains, what does it mean, lech lecha? What does it mean, get going, when we speak about the direction that begins below and moves upwards? That has to be halicha me'artzecha, that there has to be going of an eretz. Where is eretz? What is eretz? So eretz is an idiom of the word ratzon. Ratzon means will. Where there's a will, there's a way. If there's no will, there's no way. You need to really want to do something. That's the most important thing of all. Most important thing of all is that somebody should want to. Once you want to, the rest can fall into place. What do we naturally want? Yeah, we naturally want everything that's satisfying for me. Our wants are necessarily selfish. Our wants are necessarily self-preserving. The word self is somewhere in there. That's the genius of the Apple marketing. Everything has an I, right? And the fact that they made it a lowercase I, nobody notices it, just a little I. Everybody just sees I, and they get stuck with that.
It's a given.
Right? It's a given. And the other company was my. So it's I or my. And then people like that. You had their attention already.
Even we spell with two I's.
Very good. As a colleague of mine once told me, he said, I just talk to people about the favorite subject, and I get their attention immediately. Like, how do you know themselves. The favorite subject is? Talk about them. Talk about themselves. Talk about them. They're always interested. So the first thing is a person's ratzon. What do I want? What do you want? Sometimes people don't even know what they want. But a lot of times people do know what they want. Can't articulate it in a big vision, but I want this, I want that. A lot of times these wants are not wholesome. They're not holy. They're not good. They're intuitive and natural, but not necessarily good. Moiladetecha, your birthplace on a spiritual level, this is Meichen. This represents the cerebral powers to be. Like it says in Tanya, right in the beginning, that the concept of moichin, of the intelligence of a person, the intellectual faculties or abilities, moilidin es hamidas. They give birth to the offspring. The offspring are the emotions. So an idea is like we call it a seminal idea. It actually comes from the terminology semen. It's like seeding an idea. It's a flash, an epiphany. And then you take that idea and you develop it. And you broaden it. So the idea, the flash, is developed like a pregnancy. And then what do you give, what gives birth to? An opinion. And once you have an opinion, then you start to get very, very excited about your opinion, very passionate about your opinion, to the point that sometimes it seems like you're absolutely brainless about your opinion. But that's because you've left behind the brains and now you went only into the emotions. Like people whose candidate loses for president, so they go like smashing other people's property and defecating in public and doing all kinds of ridiculous things. So at some point, there was some kind of philosophical, you know, something philosophical, I would presume at some point, gave birth to the emotions, but doesn't mean that you remain connected. Sometimes the children leave the parents' house and they have nothing to do with the parents. It started with the meichen and it went into the midas. And therefore, that's beis avicha, the father's home, so to speak. That's the midas which are born through the meichen. So what do you have to leave? I know what I want. Does it fit with the Torah? Well, actually not. Most of the time it doesn't. If I had to intuit righteousness, I wouldn't say, oh, intuitively I know that it's nice to be good to somebody and to go against what I want and care about somebody else first. Who put somebody else first? That's ridiculous. I put first. And then you can, once you have that want, then you can start to rationalize it. There's like this silly little comedy routine. And the comedy routine is about two people, and there's a small piece of cake and a big piece of cake. So the two people sit down, and one guy takes the big piece of cake. And the other guy says, you have no manners. He says, why? He says, you took the big piece. He says, and what would you have done? He says, I would have taken the small piece. He says, go ahead. What's the problem? Wow, you just rationalized unmannerly behavior, right? You can rationalize anything. But once you want it, so once you have the rutzen, it's like drawing the target first shooting the arrow, then drawing the target. I know what I want. I know what I want. So I know what now I have to rationalize. I have to explain why what I want is really the right thing to do. And then I feel very strongly about it. Sure, you feel strongly about it. That's what you want. But what does Hashem say to us? Because, well, that's who I am. So what does God say?
Change it.
Great, change yourself. That's who I am. But I'm snarling, but I'm selfish, but I'm snarky, but I'm mean, but I'm selfish. Very nice. Good. I'm glad. I created you in all those things, all those deficiencies. I'm lazy. I'm slothful. I know. Now change it. Now take a hold of those natural abilities and harness them, turn them around. That's what a Torah mitzvah is all about. So I have to go out of my rotzen, I have to go out of my meichen, I have to go out of my midas. And what do I have to do? I have to now want what Hashem wants. B'chinas ha-rotzen, I have to go to the Eretz Asher Areka, to the land that God will show me. Now if Eretz means rotzen, the land God will show me, what's the land? What's the rotzen? The rotzen shalomayla. Whose rotzen is that? That's the Ritzayin Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. That's the will of Hashem. So I have to go to the will of God. The Mishnah says to us, "Nasa asay ritzoin noikir ritzoin cha." Make His will your will, adopt the will. Make it. Make Hashem want your want. So eventually, through avodas Hashem, it doesn't happen easily. A child is selfish and snarling and snarky and arrogant and slothful and all those things. But a person really works on himself at some point. What does he want? He wants what the Eibishter wants. What moves him to tears when he lost the opportunity to do a mitzvah? What used to move him to tears when he got a smaller piece of chocolate cake? We have a change. When the Torah documents Avram's goings, his journeys, so first it says that he built an altar, and the altar was established for Havaya, for God, revealed himself to him. And then, immediately afterwards, the Torah continues to narrate his journeys and says, Asa Mizbeach LeHavaya. He made an altar, but he built it for God. It doesn't say for God who revealed himself to him, just for God. Stam. Kimavur b'teira er, like it explains in Teira er, shezehu inyin ha'aliyah milmata lomayla. A person, this documents and narrates the journey from a lower level to a higher level. How so? The b'tchil, in the beginning, his relationship with God was personal. Personal meaning is the God of my understanding. God as I relate to him, or as he reveals himself to me. That's only a certain level of divinity. That's the level of divinity which can be apprehended in a superficial or revealed way. And then Avraham Avinu begins to enter into and nurture a more profound relationship, a relationship with God, which is not God as I understand him, because if that's all God is, then he's just, at the end of the day, a bigger version of me. I understand him. He can reveal himself to me. But the truth is that the level of divinity that's higher than that is the level that's beyond Avraham, or beyond us. That's the higher Havaya. So Avraham Avinu started off having a relationship with Havaya, Hanira, a love, and from there he went to a level of relationship with Havaya, plain. Not the God as I know him. God that's beyond what's knowable. The inyan lech lecha, milmai lelamata. The other direction is, yidua ha-pirish, it's known the interpretation, sha'avram, that the word Avram, Avinu's original name is Avram, which means lofty father. It means lava, a father of Aram, which is Avram Avinu's original birthplace. But on a deeper level, it means lofty father. And that represents, as it says in the mystical disciplines, that this refers to Seichel Hanela Mikol Rayim, that Avram Avinu represented a wisdom, an intelligence, a cerebral intuition, which was beyond what people normally can grasp. The Seichel Bechlal Hu Elyon Shebeilam, the highest thing of all is intelligence. It's the highest realm of existence, highest realm of consciousness. An animal also has emotions. In fact, an animal's emotions are often more powerful than people's emotions. When we talk about intelligence, a highly intelligent creature, the highest intelligence, the more intelligent, the higher, the loftier. The Inyan Avram, so this is the Seichel Ram, very lofty intelligence. Ad lebchina Seichel, it's an intelligence which is not even easily articulated, or perhaps cannot be articulated. The Inyan Zen Nimshach Lamata, and this lofty intelligence has to be expressed in a lower level. El ha'aretz asher areka, in the land which I show you. Now land, as we talked about it before, aretz is an idiom or permutation of the word ratzon. Now we're talking about aretz that refers in Kabbalistic parlance to Sfiris HaMalchus, to the lowest of the Madregas. We start off with Chochma, we go to Chochma bin Adas, which is Chabad, then we go through the emotions, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, then we go through the functional levels, which is Netzach HaYisrael, then we come to the last level. The last level is called Malchus. Malchus is called Oretz. Bring it down to earth. Remember the expression? He's not down to earth. He's got ideas, he's flying in the sky. This guy's getting carried with emotion. He's not grounded. Oretz, Malchus. That's called Eretz Achayim, the land that produces life. All of life comes from the soil. Until we speak in the most literal level, that we have sacred soil. Where is sacred soil? Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe goes on, we don't have much time left, unfortunately. The Rebbe goes on in this maimer to explain that the halicha milmata lamaila, this represents the idea of tefillah, of prayer, which is metaphorized in the Zohar as a ladder. And you go from rung to rung to rung, starting off on the ground, higher and higher. It's the idea of mitzvahs, because when you do a mitzvah, you take something material and physical, you spiritualize it, you redirect it, and when it becomes rarefied, or the more you do, mitzvot you do with something, the more rarefied it becomes. We say like a holy item. Why a holy item? Thousands of mitzvahs will perform with this. And that's the idea of taking something from a lower madrega, and a person grows in his aveda closer to Hashem. Conversely, we have this idea of milmaila lamata, that the Torah comes from the highest levels, which is beyond what we can grasp, beyond what we're capable of imagining. But that's not the point. The point is not that Torah should remain at some lofty level. The point is that whatever is very lofty, we should find a way to understand it. And not only find a way to understand it, find a way to communicate it and articulate it. That means the study and teaching of Torah, which is our form of single mitzvah, study and teaching. So this means to bring the highest madrigas into our world. And these two directions, which represented the concept of Avraham Avinu, have to be experienced in our own life. Two directions. On one hand, a Yid has to constantly be trying to elevate himself and his environment and those around him, reaching closer to Hashem, transcending the realities of the physical, mundane, and ordinary existence. On the other hand, we have to be bringing into this world the loftiest ideas, expressing them in the most concrete and actual of fashions. Every lofty idea has to be expressed in action. Every deep concept has to be understood and explained in our realm. That's the opening part of the Maimer. Then the Maimer goes into what's the right preface and how we get to that and how that links to Avraham Avinu. And then the Rebbe kind of sells it all together.
Heaven on earth.
Right, bringing heaven on earth. Okay, anyway, that's what we can do for today, so.
Shukar.
L'chaim.